he'll get here.
I'll go ahead and call us to order regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting September 16th. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, all our clocks are different, Wayne. I'd like to have a, you know.
It's 9:59 according to Greenwich time.
Public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Not see anybody move towards the mic. Consideration of minutes from 9:09.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any additions or corrections? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Personnel actions.
Approval. I submit it.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Those have been approved. Consent agenda. As presented.
I'll move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. The consent agenda has been approved. Public hearing items. Consideration of amendments to the urban renewal plan for Story County Urban Renewal Area. Leanne Harder.
Morning.
Morning,
Leanne. Good morning. Good morning. All right.
The crowd eye draw. this is the consideration of the urban renewal plan for the Story County Urban Renewal Area. Just a few slides. Just as a reminder, this was originally approved in November of 2011 for three projects, the Dakins Lake, the right-of-way for Country Club Road along in Nevada, and then 1 mile of 1/4 mile of 590th. Then last year we amended for several projects, October 2013, all of which, except for two projects, were actually funded. Those two projects are the City of Colo and City of Huxley proposed to be removed from this year's amendments, with this year's amendments, in the addition of the other applications that have been received thus far this year. Not thus far, just this year. The proposed amendments to the Urban Renewal Plan include Section 2, the property to be included in urban renewal plan. Section 4, the initial projects. That's simply spelling Dakins Lake correctly. Section 5, the additional project section. Section 7, the county financial information. Then update Exhibit B, which is that image on the right. Okay. And then specifically in Section 7, we did receive information from the City of Slater yesterday. However, that was past the time that this had been placed on the agenda. Revising their project costs down substantially, and that takes the proposed TIF debt to be incurred from 1.6 some million to revised to $429,142. And I wasn't able to republish that with the notice that I got from Slater yesterday. With that, are there any questions?
Doesn't look like it. So with that, I'll open the public hearing. If anybody has any comments they'd like to make to the proposed amendments, this would be the time for them to come forward. Not seeing a huge rush to the front, I'll close the public hearing and turn to the board.
What is the next? I move that we approve the revised the urban renewal plan for Story County Urban Renewal.
Yeah, and I'll second the amendments to the plan.
We have a motion and a second to approve the amendments to the urban renewal plan for Story County. Is there anything further? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Those have been approved. Thanks. Looks like there's no additional items. Departmental reports. Planning and development. Morning, Charlie.
I'm good.
Yeah, I can see right now, but
hopefully it is. Okay, first, just we'll go over pretty much from June, July, and August what our numbers have been so far as permitting, aid exemptions, et cetera.
First of all, welcome in your new role.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you have a new role? Oh. Robe? Oh.
Last 3 months, we've issued 33 zoning permits, 15 agricultural exemptions, one home business permit. As far as addressing, we've issued 12 new addresses. We've made one address change that was related to an annexation of the city of Huxley last year, and we've ordered three new street corner markers in that head. That wasn't related to the Cameron Estate subdivision, and we've done five property researches. As far as permitting, you can kind of see, based off the last 3 years, we're pretty much on par with where we've been. We had, I think, a little bit of a spike last year over that three-month period, but this year we just kind of narrowed back down to where we were. Main difference, I think, was we had 15 agricultural exemptions compared to six last year at this time. Those are mainly just accessory buildings that are being built. Most of our agricultural exemptions do come with those accessory buildings every so often. We'll have a house thrown in there, but not a huge spike. But anyways, that's where we're at. So, again, we're kind of probably increasing a little bit, but on par with where we typically are, I'd say. Looking at the enforcement that we've done, we have had a few complaints. We don't currently track those. We're looking at to a way to maybe better track the complaints that do come in. We did have one in particular in the Skycrest subdivision that had to do with a rooster that was crowing at 4 o'clock in the morning, according to the property owner. We did work actually with animal control on that one, and Sue did a really good job of making sure that got out of there quickly, because her enforcement process, I think, worked a little bit faster than ours did. So we did resolve that issue, and that was good.
What type of muzzle do you put on a crowing rooster at 4 in the morning?
She more or less told them they had to get it out of there, and they got it out of there, and I think within a day, so that was good. But that does come down to a few issues that we're going to have to raise here coming down the pike about how we deal with small animals on properties as far as chickens and stuff like that. Our ordinance is currently pretty silent on it. In the past, we've always said it's an agricultural use. It's exempt from zoning, but I think it might help to add some language to our ordinance, especially in our residential zoning districts like Skycrest, for example, and some of our other subdivisions. But that'll probably be something that we'll take care of next year. As far as violations, we did issue three over the past 3 months, which were $330 worth of fines. Most of those were failure to obtain a foundation location inspection through our permitting process. With that, our work program this year did outline a review of our fine schedule. We haven't done that yet, and at some point we need to get into that before this year ends and look at how we are fining people for those failure to obtain the foundation location inspections. Currently, the fine on that is $100, and I think over the past years, we've kind of identified that cost really isn't that high when you're building a, you know, $500,000 house, for example. It's just kind of part of the process. And we had a few instances last year where we felt that people were purposely not getting the foundation location inspections because they knew it was only a $100 fine and it wasn't that big of a deal. So we need to look into that, and we'll probably be working with Jessica when we figure out how we can fine those people, maybe looking at different levels of fines on those. Looking at our current work program, kind of the three main things that we have left that Leanne didn't take with her current position were the Aims of Infringe Plan review, the zoning map audit, and then a few code of ordinance reviews. Pretty much on the Aims of Infringe Plan review, we're waiting on the City of Ames to be ready to work on that. Obviously, we have to work with the three cooperators to get that done. They're not quite ready. With their new staff over there, they've had some other stuff that have come up, and this is kind of a low priority for them right now. So we're pretty much waiting on the City of Ames for that. With the zoning map audit, we're pretty much waiting for the fringe plan review before we do the zoning map audit, because we need to know kind of what the fringe plan is going to look like before we look at zoning districts, especially around Ames. Code of Ordinance review, mainly that had to deal with looking at a shadow flicker regulation for our wind turbine ordinance right now, reviewing our bed and breakfast regulations, and looking at how our accessory structures are defined and laid out in our ordinances. And I think for sure we're going to have maybe a shadow flicker ordinance amendment probably in our October Planning and Zoning Commission. The other two are probably going to have to wait a few months yet before we get some more staff time to work on that. Looking at our current development cases, currently the four pending ones I think we have on the books right now, we do have a cell tower that is being proposed just north of Colo, about 3/4 mile north of Lincoln Highway, just right north of the city of Colo.
We have a meteorological tower that's going to be associated with the wind farm up in the northeast corner of the county. Iowa State's putting that up just to do some wind tower studies. They were trying to kind of tag team with Florida Power and Light, NextEra Energy now, to just do a modification to the existing conditional use permit, but they're not able to do that. So they're going to do their own conditional use permit with that, and that's going to go to our October Planning and Zoning Commission. And then we obviously have Cameron Estates subdivision. Phase one has been approved. Phase two still pending, and their clock's ticking on that as far as the preliminary plat approval. Natty subdivision, same thing. That actually should be coming forward, the final plat, hopefully next Tuesday. We've got the application materials, and I haven't fully reviewed them yet, but as long as everything's in line, you'll see that one next Tuesday. Just some of the other approved subdivisions we've had that the Board of Supervisors have taken action on, just the Payer Agricultural Subdivision, the Schnurr Farms Residential, the Fisher Residential, and the Royer Residential. Looking at our Board of Adjustment, we didn't have a June meeting. In July, they did have a meeting where they reviewed the Casey's variance, the Pyramid CUP, which was a cell tower located right at Interstate 35 and Highway 30 there at the southeast corner of that interchange. And we did have a CUP modification to the Nevada well fields. August, we did have the Vetter variance and the Verizon CUP, which was for a cell tower along North Dakota Avenue, just north of Ames. We didn't have a September meeting, and we won't have an October meeting. The Board of Adjustment did submit a letter to the Board of Supervisors. I know Paul got that. I don't know if everybody else was able to look at it, but just asking us to review our current sign codes and see how they compare to other jurisdictions in Story County and other counties in Iowa. So we're well underway on that review, and we're going to take that forward to our October Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to possibly have some changes to our sign regulations. I obviously wanted to remind the board that there is currently one vacancy on our Board of Adjustment, and we will have two at the end of this year because Vicki Fehlmeyer is not planning on.
One vacancy we have is a rural vacancy.
The current one we have has to be rural, yeah.
It has to be rural, and the second one can be anything.
Be anything, but it. Where are we at? One of them will have to be female, I believe, because we have one. We have two females on right now, and the one female leaving. So yeah, we'll, to get the gender
balance.
Oh, you
were
going to
have a conversation with somebody about the rural one that's open right now. I'm going to handle the one that, or have a conversation about the one that's coming open later. And talk to me about the sign potential sign ordinance that will go to planning and zoning, and then depending on the action of planning and zoning, it will come to us?
Yeah, it should. I think it should come to you probably regardless, but it depends on what they do with our October meeting. Right now, what I'm planning on doing, I don't think we're going to have any concrete changes from our standpoint, but I'm more or less going to lay out this is kind of, I have a kind of a matrix put together of what other counties do, what other cities do as far as height regulations and square footage regulations, kind of compared to where we're at right now. Just kind of going to bring that forward and have them recommend the changes, and then we'll draft an ordinance at that time and bring it forward to the board.
Sure, the item I'm struggling with, and Wayne, I don't know how, I know Paul is versed in this. I've gone out and met with Vetter. What I'm struggling with in this, and hopefully planning and zoning can give us some direction, is pretty apt comparison between the new John Deere sign that's sitting right there on Highway 30, but just in Nevada, and what Vetter would like to do with a Case IH sign just, what, 2 miles further west on Highway 30, same road, same kind of dealerships, you know, same everything, but our county requirements do not allow them to do the same thing that they were able to do with John Deere. And so I just want to understand why and if that makes sense.
And what I'll probably do then, and I haven't touched base with the city of Nevada to see kind of what the particulars are of that sign out there. I know talking to Gary Anderson, he thought that it was probably about 30 feet tall, and the square footage on it I'm not sure of. I don't think it's quite 30 feet tall, but our current sign regulations do not allow for a sign over 20 feet, and I'll be frank, that's very low compared to what other people in this county and other. I mean, I think looking at all those regulations, the 20 feet was by far the lowest of what people allowed. So I think we definitely need to at least look at the size. The square footage is a little different. I think we're pretty much on par with what other people are doing there. But full disclosure, too, our sign regulations, when I look at other people's sign regulations, are worded very differently than everybody else. Ours are really not content-based. We're just looking at the structure of the sign. where everybody else's are really content-based. And I like ours to not be content-based. Just I think it's better to be not content-based, kind of the freedom of speech aspect of sign regulations. But so we'll have some changes, hopefully, that come forward, and we'll look at those. So.
And in practically most of these cases, it's not an issue of a site restriction or something of that nature to existing or illumination type of situations. So it's more or less the height that we're basically talking about that may be different from different locations.
On better ones, on veterans in particular, it was the height, but it also had a lot to do. We allow for a maximum cumulative square footage of 300 square feet of signage. That takes all the signage on the site into account. So if you have one sign that's 50 square feet, another one that's 50 square feet, then there's 100 that's already been taken up.
But something that doesn't look at is how big the site is.
Yeah, and that's another thing, and we've got a few recommendations on that as well that'll be coming forward as far as maybe some bonuses for linear footage along roads and size of parcels. So,
all right, yeah, I'd be interested in seeing what we come up with.
Yeah. Looking at our Planning and Zoning Commission, we did have a June meeting mainly focused on floodplain training that Leanne did with the Planning and Zoning Commission. In July, we did have the Natty subdivision, which the board did see a few weeks ago, the Verizon CUP, which our Board of Adjustment has since approved. Planning and Zoning Commission has had no August or September meetings, but however, in October, we will have a meeting. Those four things are what are on the agenda right now. We might have one more thing coming in, if it does come in yet today, and I'll kind of touch base here in a little bit. Also wanted to remind the board that the annual joint meeting between the Board of Supervisors and the Planning and Zoning Commission, hopefully we can get that scheduled for November. I need to touch base with the Planning and Zoning Commission first, but I'll be in touch with the board and the commission on that. We've had one conceptual review meeting over the past 3 months, conceptual review mainly looking at pre-application meeting, the two issues that we have there, the St. Peter's Church up on County Line, the Boone-Story County Line on 500th Avenue. They're looking at doing an expansion of that small church up there. They're going to have to get a conditional use permit prior to that expansion, but they're well under the way on planning that. It's just, I think, from their standpoint, being such a small congregation right now, a financial issue that they need to sort out. Cornerstone Church at Highway 30 and Interstate 35, they are going to possibly be looking at a rezoning from the A1 district to the commercial district. That's mainly so they can get an increased square footage of signage on the property. So, looking at a few other issues, there's an Alliant Energy Tower currently northeast of Nevada. We actually met with the applicant, Leanne and I did this morning. It's a legally established non-conforming tower. They're looking at changing one of the equipment shelters on the property. Typically doing that, you need to come through the whole conditional use permit process to bring it back up to code. However, on this one, there was an exemption in the Federal Telecommunications Act that more or less states that we have to approve any minor modification of an existing cell tower site. So because of that, they don't have to get a conditional use permit. It'll just come through as a normal zoning permit. I'm going to be on the Ames Mobility 2040 focus group with the City of Ames. Our first meeting there is on September 30th. Excuse me. I'm not 100% sure what to expect with those meetings, but once we get going on those, I might be looking to the board for some guidance, I guess, on what the county wants to do as far as planning that.
Well, thank you for being part of that. It's appropriate that you're part of that group.
Looking forward to it. So, looking at the recent Ames annexation, and I believe Paul and Rick, you were both aware of this. I'm not sure if you were, Wayne, but there was some changes from the initial Board of Supervisor recommendation on that annexation. Mainly, the area of land that was included in that annexation, which was west of 530th Avenue, was taken off at the Ames meeting, and it was just mainly the east area, mainly the research park expansion that was only included in that annexation. So that was the only part of that annexation that went forward. The south 530th right-of-way, the City of Ames is going to be requesting at some point here in the future that the Board of Supervisors include that in their TIF district so they can use the TIF funding that they have on that land to pave the road on 530th. Since they've only annexed to the center line of 530th, they need the board's kind of approval to do the other half of the right-of-way. So I believe this morning that looks like it might come forward sometime in mid-October for you guys to review, but I think the City of Ames is going to be kind of heading that. The Brecky request that we discussed, I think, a few weeks ago, right now we're kind of dealing with, are we going to do a fringe plan amendment on that, or are we going to do a rezoning to a commercial district? The City of Ames and I have met with Chuck Brecky on that, and I think he's actually going to go the rezoning route on that due to the commercial zoning district. He has a sweet corn business that he also runs that I think are going to go hand in hand, so it's probably the best alternative for him at this point. We did have a meeting yesterday regarding the Crestview Mobile Home Park and possibly looking at just some of the issues that are going on out there. I pointed out here on the Fernald issue, I know a couple weeks ago we talked about possibly having a meeting on that. I'm not sure if we've gotten anywhere on that, but we're aware that we might be having to work on some of that. Looking at our overall paperless project that we've been working on, we're getting to the point, I think, where we're pretty much going to be 100% paperless. We've made some changes to our application process here in the last few weeks that more or less we don't need to be printing out any applications. We have a way where we can get them all digitally. So we're looking at that currently, also waiting on, I guess, the VI client switchover and how those files are going to be pulled out of the VI client so we can get them into the Tyler program. I know there's a lot of issues with IT on that one, and I think hopefully it'll be taken care of soon, but that's one thing we're waiting on. I just wanted to point out with our printer that we have down there, I think the lease is up next July, but I think we need to have a good review on how we're using that printer, because I know we're paying quite a bit of money per month on that printer, and I'm not sure come next July we're going to be using it that much. So
my expectation is when we get to the first of the year, we're going to do a full review on printers, and so yeah, it should fit into your time frame.
That Bacon pipeline, it's out there. I know that they're hopefully going to be having some public meetings somewhere in the county. I don't know if the board's heard any information on that. I know we haven't, but we've been receiving quite a few people calling in, just asking general questions about it, and I'm not too up to speed with it. But I have informed most of them when those public hearings do happen that we'll go out of our way to inform everybody about them.
I met with the engineer and a couple of representatives from the company that's, I think it's Energy Transfer Partners. And the it's actually the utilities board that schedules the public meeting.
Oh, do they? Okay.
They're waiting for harvest. They didn't want to schedule them in October, knowing full well that there'd be farmers in the field. So they're going to wait, I think, until December.
Yeah, that's good to know. Our public meetings, public hearings, in the past, what we've done with our Board of Adjustment and our Planning and Zoning Commission is we have published our full agendas as public hearings and followed what state code says as far as public hearing. Doing a review of what our ordinance says and what state code says, we're really not expected to have public hearings for all those processes. I think mainly it came down to the two processes that we have to have public hearings for are rezonings and text amendments to our ordinance. So we've talked with Jessica about this and looked at some possible ways we can change that so we don't have to be spending as much money on publishing our public hearings. So I know currently I think we budget about $2,400 a year just for legal notifications, and that should be drastically decreased, I would say, the way we're going to go here. And we're just going to call them public meetings where we do invite the public. We're not going to have any changes to our SPO, our surrounding property owner notifications, our posting of signs, website, and so forth. But I guess in my opinion, looking at how we were publishing the legal notices in the paper, I think that's becoming somewhat of an outdated method of notification to the public. So hopefully there can be some money savings there.
Charlie, I think that's great. I would just encourage you to make sure that Jessica and County Attorney Holmes have an opportunity to weigh in. I mean, we're committed to being the most open and transparent county in Iowa and beyond, and we want to continue that.
Yep.
So.
Yep, and I have had a conversation with Jessica, and mainly if I'm kind of paraphrasing what she said, but as long as we don't call them public hearings, we're fine. But again, we definitely are still going to continue to invite the public to comment on all applications. So, last issue I have, South Ridge right-of-way that is located on the, I can't think what the subdivision's called right off the top of my head, but the North Swing, South Swing roads off County Line Road up there. There is one issue on some right-of-way back in, I think it was about 2001. We all thought that the Board of Supervisors had vacated some of that right-of-way. However, fast forward to a couple months ago, and we realized that the process that we took to do that wasn't fully functional, and there were some issues with how we did that. So we had to go back and look at how we did that. There's three landowners that are associated with that. I initially was hoping that it would be very easy to get through this. However, the three landowners seem to kind of be in disagreement of how it should be handled, so we're going to have to go into some meetings with them and figure out the best way to handle it. So probably going to be a few months before we get it to the point where we bring it forward to the board, but just wanted to at least make you aware of that issue. That's all I have. I don't know if you have any other questions for me.
I just want to say you're doing a great job. Good. Thank you for stepping up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. Other reports. Discussion of urban renewal area projects. Leanne Harder. Again.
Now that you've actually approved the urban renewal plan, it's time to actually to take for you as the decision makers to have discussion on the projects that were proposed through this year's round of urban renewal plan applications. Just a few slides reviewing our eligibility criteria, just for the benefit of the public and just a reminder for staff and the board. The goals, objectives, and strategies of the TIF, or the urban renewal area process. Four types of projects are eligible: transportation infrastructure enhancement, public land and trail improvement, communication utility infrastructure expansion, and Main Street and Town Center revitalization. The policies go further to say that no tax increment rebate, grants, loans, or assistance to private business shall occur. I'm adding those two words. And it does state, in recognition of government's limited appropriate role in the private business cycle, Story County will not use TIF funds to participate in any direct disbursement or rebate to a private entity. And then furthermore, the regulations, as the county amended earlier this year, do put forth an expected match guideline of about 25% of the total project costs. Based on the latest emails and correspondences we've had, this slide does show the revised 2014 applications we've received, and this is revised today. And I think, Wayne, did you give everyone a copy?
Yes.
The total amount as amended in the plan, too, went from $1.6 million to $429,000 down here. And what I've done is I've broken these in by city or entity by entity. Collins, and there's a couple options we can do. I can run through all these, or we can just stop at each slide and you can have the conversations on community by community. I've set forth this week and next week for the discussions of the individual projects, and then coming forth that third week with final determination from you three of what projects you do intend to fund. And that will set the stage for how we then fund that. If it's above the amount available, which is $235,000, according to Stacy, in the TIF.
Before we incur debt.
Before we incur debt, right. And if you do intend to incur debt, we need to set essentially October aside to go through that process. That is an ordinance amendment, and it will require...
So 2 weeks of discussion, third week is decision. Is that right? Then I would suggest, and I don't mean to have us belabor things, I would just soon go through these one at a time today and just have our initial conversation. No, we're not making a decision, but you know, we've heard the presentations and would like to talk through kind of where everybody is at this point.
Can I interject real quick? Stacy Harridge from the auditor's office. Back on August 26th, Lisa Markley, assistant auditor, and myself presented the projected balance, which was $235,185.80. So that is the amount that we could award without incurring any additional debt. So I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. And, you know, with the projected revised numbers of $429,142, that's at least half.
Half of what, yeah.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you and Lisa. You've done a great job keeping us up to speed on where we are in that TIF fund. And I think it helps with some of the decisions we've got to make.
Now, did we factor in any additional funding coming in at the end of this FY, or is that taking us through FY15?
This amount that was on the schedule was right. What was projected from the abstracted taxes.
Right.
For FY15.
Through 15.
Yep.
Okay,
right.
Good. Okay. Good. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Thank you. I've taken the amounts as requested, and I have a slide for each community. And Collins, I've actually lumped all three applications on one slide.
If we could take these one at a time, so the first one that I've got up there, it's a request for Main Street revitalization. They talked about the possibility of a building, as I recall, Leanne, but that building is privately owned, which I believe, based on the rules that we've set forth, excludes it from the possibility of funding in this manner. It doesn't necessarily exclude it from some other mechanism, or I don't think it excludes us, Leanne, if we go back and do that, you know, mini projects or mini grants in the spring, but not through the TIF fund. So for this first one, just for me, I struggle with it because either it's got a privately owned building attached or no building attached to it. So that's where I come down on that first one.
And that's the question I had about, I mean, I know the building that the mayor talked about, that the one that they had in mind is, you know, it's privately owned. So that's...
Well, I think it sounds like a good project. It's one that I would love to revisit if we've got a different way to fund it. I just don't see it as appropriate using this funding mechanism. Second one. Wayne, you got anything to add to that one for us to think about?
No, I'm assuming this is the one that's the very first one listed at the, and asking for the $10,000 of the
yes,
total $97,000 project. As I was reading through the information, though, it really didn't. I didn't see where it jumped out that it was privately owned, other than from what information that we might have.
It didn't jump out. It was part of Brett's presentation.
In the public, the address, I'm not talking to it,
right.
The address of the property, and through property records research, it is privately held.
Okay, great.
And again,
for consistency's sake and based on, you know, the objective that we have, I think we would be well within our grounds to not utilize TIF funds at this time and then see later on if there were any other appropriate funding mechanisms that if we felt the project itself was deemed worthy.
Sure. And just so we're clear, we're not making decisions today. We're
right.
Making decisions in 2 weeks.
Right.
But this, if we go through these one at a time like this, it will give Leanne the information she needs to be able to communicate back with the applicants. Here's the questions the board has. Here's where the board is right now.
Right.
And then if they want to weigh back in and
sure.
Tell us something else, great.
Great. Good. Thank you. Okay.
Second one is the work on the water lines as a result of the Highway 65 regrade. To me, unless you guys see it differently, this is pretty comparable to what we talked about in McCallsburg last year. And that's where I am at this point on that one.
And Leanne, I know I asked earlier, again, as a reminder, the portion that the city actually had contributed toward these projects. When we look at the 25% that we had talked about, does this, in your opinion, still fit within that realm?
The amount proposed to be funded by the city and or other sources other than the county TIF fund is 77%, and the urban renewal fund would be 23%. So it does exceed that 25% match.
Substantially.
Yep. Yep. Great.
The third one is storm sewer upgrades, and I am really at a loss for this one. In my mind, I have not wrapped my head around yet whether I consider this more like road infrastructure upgrades within a city, which we've already acted on, or if I consider it more like water lines or something like that. I'm struggling with this one. I think we need to have a full conversation on how this fits and where it fits. I'm just not clear in my mind yet.
And previously, when we talk about storm sewer Again, I'm not sure if, to me, it's total infrastructure that could be something based on systematic failures that needed to be addressed over a maintenance type of situation. And so I'm not 100% certain that this fits in what we've done in the past. But again, I think they've determined that there is a financial need for assistance in this area, and how do we look at this in terms of the economic potential for the community, for business locations and other types of things. And so I probably would just want to have more discussion regarding, you know, whether or not this is a project that should go forward.
Yeah, I need more discussion on that one. I would ask that you help us through the thought process of what this is most like. Again, clearly, if it's roads kind of thing, the stormwater, if we consider it more like that, then we've got precedent that says we don't do that as part of TIF. If it's water line, those kind of things, then we have precedent that says we do support those kind of things. And so I'm trying to categorize that in my head. And, Wayne, I'm like you. I just need more information to get that done.
Well, it's clearly an infrastructure upgrade. You just have to try to figure out
which
side of the line it's on. So
Exactly. Okay. If we're done with those, that goes to Colonesco, right?
Okay. Location, again, tied into Dakin's Lake project and some of the overall revitalization. I can see that this could be an enhancement for visit those who are visiting the Dakin's Lake area. Again, I look at this again in terms of many of the farms, the wind farms that we have generated within that location, and I think this is certainly a project that would bode well for overall revitalization of that community. And so I'm leaning very favorably toward looking at this. The only question that I have, again, is whether or not at the end of the day, we would fund the full amount or lesser amount. That was my only concern.
And I'm tracking right with you, Wayne. The nice part is we participated in phase one, so we've got precedent that we do this. The 17.5 is more than our 75% threshold that we say is part of this thing. 75% is actually just over 16,400, so that's more. I'm in support of this one. Just not in support at 17.5. I'm closer to in support at 16.4.
This hasn't been done yet. Is that correct? Last
time they did it, paid for
done.
It, and right. Went. This one, I think, is a project that they want to do.
Want to do.
Been completed yet, but it's an addition to what we helped fund last year.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Leanne, remind me, it feels to me like last year we had a request from Huxley to do trail maintenance, not trail improvement, and we came back and said, no, once the trail's paved, that becomes a city responsibility for you to do the maintenance on it. This one's different in that it's not maintenance. It is actually improving the trail, which very clearly is stated in one of our goals and appropriate uses. And so I feel differently about this one than I did with Huxley last year and actually come down more in support of this one. I do want to make sure that we clearly define that if this trail is paved using some of these dollars, the county assumes no responsibility for maintenance at all. That rests with the city of Huxley.
Well, and we've had the discussions about paving that trail anyway, and I think if we can get started, even if we have to piecemeal it, I mean, it's a start, and once, like you said, once it's paved, and then it becomes a city's responsibility for maintenance. So I look at this differently than the request that they had last year.
And could you just double check with the Conservation Department in terms of their recommendation? I know there was some discussion about paving helping to fund a part of the heart of Iowa Trail, but I'm not sure if we're talking about the exact same.
I believe location. Part of the, so it's 281 total that they're talking about, and if I'm not mistaken, I thought part of the dollars that they were finding was through conservation, and one of the grants through
conservation.
Led me to conservation being in support of
this project. Right.
But I think it's worth Leanne looking into it and making sure.
Right.
If I remember correct, there was a REAP fund.
A REAP fund. That is correct. It was just within about the last month, I believe, that it was brought to our attention that I think it was approved.
$180,000 to Story County Conservation.
And that's for the same general resurfacing. And guys, this is an area, again, where I think futuristic, we really need to, from looking throughout Story County, as to how we can really improve our trails for even greater use for future generations. And I really think that a lot of communities statewide sees a tremendous value in this. And so I know conservation feels that this is one of their high priority areas as well. So I would hope that this could still be something that can not only this area, but as we look at other areas and how we can connect some of our municipalities and trails that are there to our county trail system as well. And I know, Rick, you and Peter Risen from the city has having some ongoing discussions in this particular area. So I think there is that a mindset out there that this would be a tremendous benefit for Story County in general if we could partner in some way. And obviously, these things are going to have to be phased in over a period of years. It just can't be done, any one project right up in front.
Wayne, you are so right. I think if you look back at the 4 years that this board has been together, very clearly you could make the case that this board's primary focus was in doing some comprehensive planning, trying to get our budget and spending priorities in order, and now we close out our four-year term together really dealing with mental health issues. I firmly believe that the next 4 years facing the board, our trails and transportation infrastructure in Story County is going to be the primary focus that whatever board is sitting here is going to have to focus in on. And I think you're hitting the nail on the head, Wayne. We need to do some big-time planning. We need to recognize that it's an important function for not only moving people around in Story County, but for the quality of life in Story County. And I think there is a groundswell of support, and now's the time to hit on it. So.
I like this one.
This one to me is easy. Yeah. This is what we did with McCallsburg last year. It's one of our communities that is really trying hard, but they don't have the resources to be able to do something like this without substantial help. To me, this is the project that we set this up for, to try to help them do this. This one for me is the easiest one we've got on the list.
I did have a conversation with Kelly. They're still waiting. Their engineer does not want to put this out for bid because they've been told they won't get any responses back. Just given the nature of the construction climate right now, they're very busy. People are very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll put it out for bid next spring, maybe early 2015, then spring for work. This is going to be the highest, though. I think as the mayor discussed with the board, they think the estimates are going to be substantially lower, but they unfortunately weren't able to provide the revised estimates.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see, Kelly.
well. Okay.
This one's interesting to me because it says curb and gutter, but I don't view it as curb and gutter. I view it as park space with the Freedom Rock sitting right there. I view it as the county stepping in to help with the development of what will be a touristy park space. And so, for me, I view it differently than they're not asking us to come in and pave a road. They're asking us to help us with a park they've put together. They've got tons of volunteer hours and dollars in this thing. I think it's the right thing for us to do.
Well, it's Story County's Freedom Rock. That's the location of the Freedom Rock. The rock is there. It hasn't been painted yet. The street that it's on runs around the north side of the the east side of the park. There's no good place to park, and I think that's the improvement they want to make is curb and gutter and add some additional places to park. And yeah, I mean, to me it makes perfect sense. I think it's going to be a draw, and that in conjunction with their museum that they've got on Main Street. I mean, I think it's going to be.
Where is it in relationship to the museum? Is it? I'm just trying to get my. I haven't gone up there and seen this.
It's actually right behind the Casey store.
Okay.
Right west of the Casey
store. All right. I know where you're talking about, Dan. Great.
Okay. Good proximity to the trail, too, isn't it?
Yeah, not too bad. The trail's on the opposite end of the park, so.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a construction of Clock Tower Center.
Totally. I really, really like this project. I mean,
I was hoping I could figure out a way to get a few more dollars and have my name just right across the front.
Just have Edna write the check.
Like Fawcett, whatever you call it, you know. I couldn't quite figure out what name I'd use, though, but but since I don't have the money, I don't have to worry about
it. I'm sure
that.
You
I'm
can get
rid of it. I'm not going to lose it in sleep.
I'll donate money for naming rights for you. I like this project. You talk about downtown Main Street revitalization. Nevada's done a great job with their new City Hall. Minsky's is, you know, as much as I enjoyed eating there sometimes, that building was ready to come down. This is the right use for that ground. I'm excited about the drawings that I've seen from it. This is the county seat. I think it's completely appropriate for us to participate at this level.
And I like the way they went about their design process with their leadership Nevada class, so
kind of like the statues and names that are out there, you know, the leadership project. I had my picture taken with those too. No, it's a good project.
This application has been revised, as I stated earlier. The revision is for a total project cost of $35,000 with the amount requested at $26,250. Rather than the entire improvements to Main Street, a certain segment has been selected and proposed, and I did share that with the board, the email we received.
Sure, and we've got Jennifer Davies here.
Right.
And Jennifer, I would ask, if you wouldn't mind, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but would you just, so we've seen the email, but I'd just like you to talk us through, because it looks to me like it's more pavers and beautification, and so.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. What we wanted to do was break it into pieces, I guess, and this would be the first step of breaking this project into pieces. This is in front of City Hall. We moved City Hall to the Main Street location just 2.5-3 years ago. And so it is more of a beautification. Pavers, this section of it is. And this is an area where we wouldn't have to disturb it again for continuing the Main Street project as a whole.
Yeah, and so for me, and I, you know, and Jennifer, I apologize if this is not appropriate, but for me, the original project that you guys proposed was an easy no for me, simply because we've got precedent in what happened in Colo. Not that it doesn't need to be done, not that it wouldn't be a great project, but that's not what TIF is for. Now this revised project that they've presented does, in my mind, fall more in line with what we're trying to do, what's appropriate use of these TIF dollars, and so I'm highly interested. Jennifer, what I would ask is, you know, we're going to talk about this some more next week, we're going to make decisions the next week. If you guys can get us some more information than just the numbers in the email, if there's any drawings, if there's anything that we can really sink our teeth into and know what would be going on, I'm highly encouraged by where you are.
Well, and we also thought that starting small and maybe doing it just in front of City Hall would get the public more encouraged and excited about the whole project, the project as a whole, and moving forward and doing fundraising and other grant applications and such for the rest of.
Well, for me, you're absolutely on the right track. I would just request that if you can get Leanne some more information for us to discuss again next week, okay. That would be outstanding.
Sure.
Okay. I do appreciate that you guys did take the time and break
Absolutely.
It down. It makes it easier for us to make a good decision, an informed decision. So I do appreciate your effort on that.
Thanks.
Next, we go to Story City. As Mark Jackson, the city administrator, said, the original project cost was $901,000. They revised it to $835,000 and then did substantially revise the amount requested, down from $676,000 to $83,500. And it is for construction of Rich Olive Street.
I love Story City. Of all the entities in Story County, I think they use TIF as appropriately as anybody. As I understand it, they are, in fact, TIFing this area. They are putting in a spec building. This is a great area. I think it's appropriate for them to name the street whatever they want to name it. I think we have hard and fast precedent with what we did with Colo last year that we don't participate using TIF dollars. We don't participate in the building of roads and streets. And so, for me, this one's a no. As much as I like the project, I appreciate everything about what Story City does, but it doesn't fit for Story County with this mechanism of funding as I see it.
Okay. Now,
it's got nothing to do with who the street's named.
Okay. The issue and what I'm trying to look at is how do we wrap our arms around economic development when it's going to be hopefully the spec building. I assume it's going to be city owned, but we don't know that, or do we know that whether or not the spec building is, or is it going to be?
Well, the city's going to build it, or the economic development arm is going to build it, but the goal is to sell it.
So sort of lease it out or sell it.
Absolutely, they're not requesting that we participate in that. They're requesting that we participate in the building of a road.
Okay. And let's take that to a project such as a already existing park or business and so forth, and for some reason they'd like to have an extension of a road. And we know we've had requests for a certain place in the south already. We didn't go that route, but was it because we didn't have the funding mechanism, or was it because we just did not feel it was appropriate, or did we didn't feel we had the resources available?
In terms of roads, Wayne, since we started this process, we said no to Colo and what they were doing, and dang near Main Street. I mean, a road that is heavily, heavily used clearly needs to be surfaced. Hard surfaced, and we said no because we felt it wasn't appropriate as this mechanism of funding. We said yes to Vetter Construction, but the difference for me there on Vetter Construction is we actually, it's fully in the county, we TIFed the Vetter property and used those dollars directly to pay for that. There is no county TIF up in this area. This is TIFed by Story City.
Story City
needs to, it's appropriate for Story City to do it, but they need to pull the dollars out of their TIF to do this rather than us pulling dollars out of other TIF areas to pave a road when we have established our precedent of we're not paving roads with this.
Well, I really appreciate you in this area because obviously you have a good recall or recollection of not only the TIF process that we have in place but also our established precedent in this particular area. And while initially I look at Story City and Huxley and Ames as our three and Nevada as our three, four communities that really has tried to attract economic development to bring outside businesses there, increase job opportunities and so forth. So all along I'm sitting here trying to think what could be the county's involvement or role in projects like this. And so I think we're going to constantly see a demand for this.
Sure.
The question basically is where does this fit in? And reason that I'm struggling a little bit here with this is I'm not 100% sure of the research park, for example, and the expansion that's going on there and the role that conservation is basically going to play in this particular area. But are we, in essence, going to – now, we may be doing something with trails, but are we got to be careful that we're not doing anything with road construction.
Correct. Utilizing this process.
Right, this process.
I think right. If we go down the road, it sounds like we're going down this year. And you couple that with what we did last year. So last year, we established a precedent, but it doesn't mean that that's the precedent. It
exactly.
Means we need to look at that and then go. Now, if we do the same thing again this year, now it gets harder the next year to do something different than that. What I'm hearing is we're going down the road. You use the research park. It's a great example. I mean, the initial request from the research park when I started having conversations with them was doing roads storm sewer. And I said, for me personally, that doesn't sound like a good fit, which is how we moved on to the possibility of this open area park space as a possibility. Those conversations are still continuing. Nothing's come to this board formally yet.
Good.
But I think you're right to put it out there in front of us. I just see this. I would love to be able to jump in and support the great work that Story City is doing. I mean, they're doing so many wonderful things. Nevada's given us an opportunity this year with their new hub area to support it. I would love to see something like that from Story City. I just think construction of a street falls outside what we said we were going to use these
all
dollars
right.
for.
Okay. I'm with – okay. God, thank you. I appreciate the explanation. Okay.
Last one is the City of Zeering, and for two buildings on Main Street, similar to the application that they did last year for improvements to the new Cara Pharmacy telepharmacy site.
Boy, are they doing a great job. Wayne, I don't know when the last time you were down Main Street.
Yeah, we were there.
Unbelievable.
Conservation Board had a meeting there last month.
I mean, you think about going up there. Paul, I know you used to live up there many years ago. You go up there 5 years ago and compare it to what it is today up there. The City Council up there should really be commended. I mean, they have really decided that they were going to turn their town into something special, and they're doing it. And I love any opportunity we have to participate with them.
And the city owns the buildings.
The city owns both buildings, correct.
That makes that a little easier.
I will verify that again before next week's meeting. The last time I checked it.
Yeah, Leanne, I would ask that you go back and just share with every one of the applicants.
Exactly.
This conversation. It'd be great if they could listen to the audio so they get a feel for where we are. Please let them know that we're planning on coming back next week and talking about this again. If we have any new information or any of us have had thoughts that we need to visit about a little more, with the final decision being that third weekend. And I just think it's appropriate for us to be upfront and above board with all the applications. It's great applications. It's unfortunate that we can't just say absolute yes to everything, but I don't think that's realistic.
And I made a list. So next week I'll come back with some information on storm sewers for the Collins, how that relates to the different precedents with streets, water lines. That is a kind of a unique breed, and that, and indeed, would be setting precedents for future projects.
Whichever way we go, it's going to set a precedent.
At some point down the line, we are going to do something that's going to be precedent-setting. We know that. The question is when you have limited resources and you have multiple projects, you tend to want to stay within the confines of what you have already established. And so if down the road there's additional revenues available and so forth, and you might want to look at some of these types of things, you may decide to do that, and that would become a precedent setting based on what I would consider to be additional resources available. But under the guise of where we are today, I don't think we should we should never put ourselves in a position that says, well, just because we didn't approve it today, that we won't look at it in the future years because there could be other circumstances that enter into the playing field. Yeah.
I think you're right.
I'll also verify building ownership for Collins so that we know for sure it is.
And Ziering.
And Ziering.
Yep.
I was Colonesco, I'll talk to the superintendent about the revised possible amount and make sure it doesn't affect plans to go forward. Huxley, I will verify the role and the support from the Story County Conservation Board. Work with Jennifer and Slater to get drawings and specifications. And then, again, the Ziering, the building ownership question.
Yeah, and let me just clarify. Jennifer, I'm not asking for anything real elaborate. Just a little more than just the email that I think was great that got us on this track, but as much as you guys can give us, reasonably.
Yeah.
The same presentation next week. With
great.
The
good.
Perfect.
And again, thank you, Leanne. This
great job.
A good job. It's very helpful. Very helpful. Good.
That takes us to liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne?
Met with Ron Christian yesterday, just basically the conversation centered around the upcoming regional governance board meeting, the RFP process. Had he had a chance to go out and look at it? And he said he had. I told him I didn't want any surprises. We wanted to keep him totally informed throughout the process as to how things were going, and he didn't have any issues or concerns at that time. He said yes, he had read that. He did talk to me a little bit about some staffing issues. I think in the supportive employment area, there's probably, he's down two individuals, has some concern there. I told him that this, again, is an area that the region is continuing to take a look at. Didn't have anything certain to say at this point in time, but we were aware of that, and it was on the agenda to look at a support person from another county that would be able to come in and work with the financials, since the person who handles his financials will be changing jobs and reassignment within Story County. And so the governance board did approve that yesterday. So I think that based on where he felt some challenges still existed, we are working closely with him to try to address those challenges. And I'd like to say that Alyssa has been very much involved with that. Our auditor's office has been involved, along with representatives region. So I think we are in a good footing right now in terms of consistently meeting some of the challenges that this transition is going to take place.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to thank you, Wayne. You and the region, it's really been a great partnership in a very, very difficult circumstance. And so I appreciate your leadership there. And you're 100% right. We're going to have more challenges. It's nice that we seem to be a unified partnership now between Story County and the region, and can try to work through those. Along those lines, I do have one. And Wayne, not to cut you off, but it goes hand in hand with what you're talking about. Yesterday, Leanne and I, was it yesterday, Leanne? My days run together. Yesterday, Leanne and I met with the Ames Chamber and the Ames Economic Development leadership in order to talk about CLP and our concerns specifically with our existing workforce there, what ultimately, how we maintain that workforce. Paul, some of the work you did in that group, we just wanted to take it straight to the Ames Chamber because they have a great outreach program to many of the businesses in Ames. We laid it out for them. They have some really, really, what I took as positive thoughts and ideas of how we can assist our existing workforce through the transition. Leanne is gathering information from Alyssa right now to present to the Ames Chamber, and they're going to come back with some recommendations for us, Paul, probably for your group to visit and see if that can be is worth incorporating into some of the recommendations you guys made. Leanne suggested the meeting. It was something I had not considered before Leanne suggested it, but I thought it was an outstanding meeting, and it was completely appropriate, being that CLP, I mean, is a large employer right in Ames.
Exactly.
That we talked to them about it.
Right. Very good, and thank you for both of you for that meeting. So yeah, I'm interested in seeing anything additional that we'll come up with. Great.
Anything
Like I said earlier, I did meet with the engineer and representatives from the pipeline, the energy transfer partners. It was funny, the day we met, it was probably 50 degrees, and the one fellow was from Galveston, Texas. And he said, this is a cold winter day in Galveston. And he'd actually moved to West Des Moines for this project. But
He's going to enjoy February.
They're committed. I'm not sure when they meet with the utilities board, but they're projected to be done, I think, by the end of 2016 if it is approved. So,
and then walk me through your understanding, Paul. As I understand this process, I equate it so the utilities board in this process becomes comparable to DNR in a CAFO process, and our role is going to be similar to that of a CAFO with DNR as we talk about this pipeline. I mean, is that even close to right?
We'll have any floodplain permits that will come through the county. Every time they cross a road, we'll have to approve a utility permit. But other than that, I don't think there's a lot that the county is going to be approving or not approving. I mean, it's, and you're right.
So limited authority for us in this process.
Yeah. Once they, you know, get the thumbs up or thumbs down from the utilities commission, that'll pretty much do it. So.
Okay.
Good.
Public forum number two, comments from the public. For items not on this agenda, the board may not take any actions or the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Not seeing anybody moving towards the mic. Announcements from the supervisor, Wayne.
I alluded to it earlier. The regional governance board that met yesterday, the highlights of the meeting, again, was to approve the RFP that will now be going out looking at potential providers who might be able to come in and want to take over services for the county operated CLP. Was very well done. Didn't require a lot of discussion around the table. The members were very pleased with the format and the timetable that was submitted. And so now I think that we'll just move through the next phase. One of the things that we did do, while our preference is still to have one particular contractor or provider and then have subcontractors for other services, we wanted to make sure that in the proposal it just did not state it so that we couldn't look for more than one. So I think that is in view of what we're hearing from some of the providers out there that might have an interest. They just didn't think they were in a position right now to just take over the whole thing. So in the proposal, we're going to see that. And then there is going to be a bidders conference, pre-conference setup, where they can get additional information and so forth prior to this coming back for further consideration. Then the other item was the approval of a regional staff person that will come in and assist. Matter of fact, they're supposed to be on site today to review the financial situations over there in view of the fact that our person is going to be leaving at the end of this month. So
the region is stepping up to help us with staff issues.
Right.
At CLP.
As of now, at least they're anticipating one day a week and more if necessary.
Okay.
And yes, so yes.
And the RFP, Wayne, if I could go back to that, just two questions. One, am I right that you guys, the region, used Parker Denison to assist with the RFP?
Right.
Do we know what that cost was with that?
Yes. Oh, gosh.
I can get it later.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 30-some-odd thousand.
Okay, and so that was in addition to the initial contract.
Right,
with
but that came through the regional funds and so
perfect.
Forth. Right.
And when does the RFP go out that you guys approved yesterday?
You would ask that question right here in front of me somewhere. The response, the due date for it is October 30th. I think it will go out almost immediately.
Okay. With the response date of October 30th. That helps.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Right. Right. Okay.
And then next step after that is the entire regional board will review the proposals?
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
At what point, if any, does it come back to us as a body? Are we expected to weigh in through you? Are we expected to weigh in by attending the regional meetings? Or does at some point, are they going to look for a recommendation from us?
To my knowledge, no. But I think that we obviously will be in a position to give any input or discussion that we see fit. When we when it was turned over now under the regional guides, they basically will take the leadership to evaluate the RFP proposals that are coming in, make a recommendation. Obviously, we'll be, you know, included in that, and we'll be notified as to how the process is. I will certainly be able to give any input that we may see if there are some questions that will be asked. And again, I would encourage you to let us know and let Deb know if we see some areas that we really think that maybe the Regional Governance Board may have overlooked. So that process is certainly going to be there.
I think what I would ask for, if it's appropriate, and I just ask you as chair to consider the chair of that regional board to consider this and maybe take it back to the regional board, is as soon as those proposals come in and are in fact public information, I think it's appropriate for us to deal with them here, understanding we're not the decision maker,
right,
but for us
right.
to go through them here and have our input in a public forum like this. And so I would ask you to consider if we can do something.
I believe
like that.
That was not that was certainly part of where the timetable Deb and I had talked about, because once they're done, we've also told CLP and their staff and clients that there will be a public meeting that will address that. And yes, this is expected.
Maybe
to be
it's an appropriate
there.
Evening public yeah. meeting for
yes,
us.
Right.
But somewhere along the line, even though we're not the decision maker, right. I still feel like since it's our CLP program right. that ultimately
yes,
is being replaced,
that will take
that
place.
We weigh in.
Good point. That will take place. And then the other, there were several discussions regarding the fiscal policies and revisions, looking at the funding as of November. The budgeting process, each of the counties need to make sure that they are taking necessary steps for FY15 budget. That's going to flow through the region. I think everybody is on board with that. There was some discussion about the claims process and how to do that and how to set up operations through our fiscal agent so that there's a complete separation of dollars from the region, from the county, and that's now been done, working with the treasurer in Madison County as well as the fiscal agent. So everybody is on board with some of the changes and recommendations in how the fiscal accountability will be. And the good thing there again is this board, the fiscal board that we have, will be empowered to bring forth recommendations to us. We also approved in to make sure that in our communication with our attorney, we approved and hired an outside attorney to deal with this, but only our CFO, which in this case will be Deb Schulroth, and myself will be authorized to make contact with the attorney so that we don't on charge by different board members going sure. and asking questions, and then it will be brought back to the governance board for any action. So we didn't think it was necessary, but it was brought up by one of the members. How did we have a structure in place? And so I thought it was a good compromise, and we've got that in place as well. So all in all, things look real good. And Rick, as you've alluded to as well, I've just been extremely pleased with how all of the members have stepped up and addressed concerns. And one of the things that in the discussion about the assistance, they said that if even a provider was having challenges within our area, we would want to step in and give whatever assistance we can so that there would not be any diminishing of services to the clients in this particular region. So, again, that speaks volumes to the cooperation and collaboration amongst the members of our region.
It really does. Yeah. Thank you, Wayne. Pass.
Pass also.
I move adjournment.
Second.
Motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.